Like to bring the September 7th meeting to order. Welcome to everyone that is here and everyone that is listening online. I'd like to start off by having Commissioner Robertson to say the prayer and pledge of allegiance, please.
Please, Jesus, continue to unite this county, board and employees, and citizens of the county to make one big, successful, happy family. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. At this time, I'm going to do a roll call. So if you are here, just announce that you're here or virtually. Commissioner Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner John Trent.
May not be on yet. I don't see his name. See his name?
Can you unmute yourself, John? Can you unmute him?
But I got muted again.
There you
can
go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. I'm doing roll call.
Yeah, I'm here, but virtual.
Thank you. Commissioner Wesson?
Present.
Commissioner Adkins?
Present.
Thank you. Next on our agenda is public comments. We have a 3-minute public comment section. If you would come to the mic and announce your name and address, please.
Teresa Perry. I live at 604 East River Street in Coleraine. The reason I'm here is on August 17th, my mind was preoccupied. I got out of my vehicle at my mailbox and I forgot to put it in park. And my vehicle started to roll. I tried to catch it because I didn't want it rolling through the middle of Coleraine. And when I saw I couldn't catch it, I turned the wheel so it wouldn't go hit a house or anything else like that. In the meantime, I got run over by my own vehicle and was severely injured. I just got off of a walker as of the end of last week. And it's just been a nightmare. But the big problem was I called for an ambulance. I'm laying in the street bleeding. My leg is cut up. It's swollen. It was horrible. And I'm a retired MA, so I knew I was hurt bad. I was told by the 911 operator, first off, she didn't know where I was, and I had to keep telling her. And she said there were no available ambulances in the county. And so I'd have to find my own way to the hospital. And I find that to be completely intolerable, but in this county, I could not get an ambulance when I'd been run over. And the 911 operator, she was saying, once I started telling her where we were, she said the only available unit was in Buena Vista and that I could get to a hospital quicker than that. Well, the problem with that is speeding. And so we took off and she kept saying, okay, where are you? Where are you? We said, well, we're now at Trap. And I said, we're coming up on Palsville. Can you get anybody there? She didn't seem to know what I was talking about. I don't know if she was preoccupied or what, but the operator was not helpful. We had very little confidence. But the fact that I couldn't get an ambulance is inexcusable because I believe this county has a contract with the private ambulances that you can get a private ambulance to go to somebody if there's one available. But anyway, that was the beginning of the nightmare. And it just went downhill from there because I was a walk-in considered at the hospital. Well, that means I got to sit behind everybody else who was in there. They took me to a waiting room. And I was 45 minutes before I was seen by a doctor because I had to wait behind everybody with sore throat or cough. And, you know, if I'd gone in on ambulance, I would have gotten some pain relief and I would have been seen right away. Because it was bad enough that when the doctor came in, he goes, oh, my God. And I was like, And then the second problem happened exactly 1 week later. I came in from a doctor's appointment and there was no water. And I couldn't imagine why I didn't have any water, but it was at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm talking as fast as I can. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so I called the first thing the next morning and got the water company people here, Bertie Water. And the woman took my account number and everything like that. And she says, I'm going to have to let you talk to somebody else. But while I was giving her my number, there was so much cackling and laughing going on by at least two, possibly three women in the background that she couldn't hear me and I couldn't hear her. So that was infuriating. Finally, they put me through to somebody else because they said that I had to talk to somebody else. When I got through to her, she told me it had been turned off because I hadn't paid my bill. And I said, I'm sitting here right now and I have my bills and I have my confirmation numbers. She said, let me check into it. She called me back a few minutes later to let me know that my water was turned off because they hadn't received the payment. And the payment had been received, and the girls in the department had credited it to somebody else's account. So my water was cut off, and I'm already feeling bad enough, and then I have no water. And they said, okay, well, we're going to fix that now. And I said, well, who did it? And she says, well, one of the girls here in the office. And then I never heard one word back. I find that inexcusable. And the supervisor of that water department should have at least called me and said they were sorry. Woman said that she would send somebody over to turn my water on. It would only be a few minutes. It was an hour and 7 minutes later that I finally got water. But I did, thank you, Jesus, finally get water. But I thought the board ought to know because I think both of those things need to be fixed.
Well, we appreciate you coming, Chris. I'm sorry that you were in the wreck, and but I'm glad to know that you seem to be on the mend.
Okay. That's still going to rotate a tear in my neck or something like that, but they said that's not going to
be good. I believe you told me, but could you tell me again the date and time you called the rescue squad?
17th of August. Was 5:15 to 5:30.
In the afternoon.
We'll look into it.
Right. And it went 2 yards down before the car finally hit grapevine. And I'm laying in the road at 9:10 to get up and walk to my car. You know, have to walk out, roll down in my car because how was I going to get up?
Miss Teresa called me, and so I reached out to Mitch Cooper, our emergency management director, and so he made some inquiries, and yes, all of our ambulances were out, all but one, and that was at Buena Vista and Hexalina area. So I'm not sure, because you're not from around here, I'm not sure if you know where that is. But anyways, it is a good distance, so and then we would not have any coverage on anywhere in the whole county. So anyway, they were extremely busy. Yes,
yeah.
They were extremely busy.
Yeah. But Ms. Perry, first of all, let me I'm sorry that you had to experience that, and thank you for bringing this to our attention, because you know you only fix things when you know that there's a problem, right? So the fact that you came to us, we're going to take that seriously and look into it and at least try to understand what happened and how can we keep those kinds of things from happening again. So I thank you, and I'm just glad that you are recovering. Thank you.
Okay. And I saw the county manager write some notes down about the water department issue.
I apologize.
I believe you called me about the water issue too, and yeah. Anyway, so. Well, I mean, unfortunately, there are human beings inserting data, and yes, yes. Got you. I'm with you.
not a period.
Are there any other public comments?
Yes, my name is George Richard. I live at 1515 U.S. Highway 17 North in Windsor, North Carolina.
Okay.
I am a local metal detectorist, and I have had previous permission from Mr. Scott T. Sawyer, the previous county manager, to metal detect the local parks in the area. I do this mainly for my health benefit because I am a diabetic and I have kidney failure and other issues. So by keeping me moving, it keeps me healthy. And I was just making myself known to today if it would be possible for y'all to possibly see if I can still obtain that permission to metal detect. And also, I would be more than glad to offer my services to the county. You know, if anybody ever lost anything or the police needed assistance in finding something, I'll be more than glad to help in that aspect as well. And I'll also pick up any local trash that I do find in the county parks when I do it.
Yeah, it was great meeting you that day at Bertie Beach. So thank you for, I'm sure you have a lot of enjoyment with the metal detecting.
Yes, ma'am. Is this Miss Tammy?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Nice to hear from you again.
And I've talked to the county manager, and he says he has spoken with you.
I have not heard from him, ma'am.
Oh. Okay. Well, I misunderstood. He must have. He got your call. He hasn't returned your call yet. Yeah. Okay. I'm on the same wavelength now.
Yes, ma'am. I have left several messages.
And Mr. George, he's going to return your phone call as soon as possible and let you know. I don't see any problem with you continuing on with your metal detecting. We just want you to maintain safety while you do it.
Yes, ma'am. And I also wanted to mention, too, I do understand that the park, the tall glass of water swimming area is part of an archaeological site, so if I was to find anything around there immediately, I would turn it over to the county.
We would appreciate it.
All right, thank you so much for your consideration.
Thank you, sir. LaShonda, are there any other public comments?
No, Chairman, no public comments at this time.
Thank you. Just to remind everyone that you will have another public comment session at the end of our meeting. So first on the reports and the appointments agenda is an update on the project closeout of the Library North Carolina Cooperative Extension by Amber Idle and Danny Huff. Amber, Danny, are y'all on the line?
Good evening. Hello, yes, this is Amber.
Hey.
Hey, so, we have both of us on the line today.
Yes, ma'am. So you can have the floor.
Awesome. So just as an update right now, we had a few outlying things that we added to the project at the end, dealing with the landscaping. Some of the stone has been delayed. It's just a material shortage at this point. Which we were told about when we change ordered it into the project. I think it has been delayed around the same time that we thought it was going to be, and that should be installed by the end of the month, as well as the remaining plants at the same time. This time of year is in like the end of September will be a good time to actually plant them when it's not as hot. So that will work out pretty well. Some other remaining items on the punch list should have been taken care of, and Danny and I are going to plan to go back out when the contractor's done everything, and we'll check off our list so that we can turn that over to Golden Leaf and let them know we're done. And then the parking lot. So the contractor went out there, I believe, in July and met with the subcontractor that did the paving and reviewed the areas and are basically on the schedule to make those repairs, but we're kind of bumped since they'd already paved the entire parking lot. But that is coming. They are going to fix all those areas. And I believe actually AR Chesson is going to cover that. I don't know if their subcontractor is taking responsibility for that, but the general contractor is, so that's good. And he's going to let me know as soon as he knows when they're scheduled to come out, so I can let everyone in the building know as well.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, no problem. Sorry it's taking so long. It's just construction is kind of crazy right now. So that's part of it. And I think the rain has held up the paving contractor with other projects, and it just gets more and more backed up. So were there any other specific items that anyone had?
Point, it is a safety issue. So that it needs to be bumped up for that reason, if no other reason.
Correct. And so I spoke with Billy Barrow, and this was probably back in July, I think, when we were out there. And if it's getting worse and worse, it would be good if he blocked those spaces off. I don't want anyone tripping. We don't want anyone parking and getting out of their car and anything happening, for sure. So that, I know that would be inconvenient until it gets paved, but that could be the best decision until that gets repaired.
Okay. Yeah, we'll reach out to him and suggest that.
And he may have done that. I'm not sure, but we did make that recommendation to him. And I will push on AR Chesson to push on their subs, try to get that taken care of as soon as possible.
All right. Thank you. Any questions for Danny or Amber? We continue to get a lot of great feedback from that building. So thank you so much.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
Right, next on the agenda is the presentation of the 2020-21 settlement reports and charge of the 2021-22 tax levy by our tax administrator, Jody Ray.
I'm Jody. Here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. First, we're going to have the 2020-2021 tax settlement. This would need a motion to accept the report as required by statute, to enter the insolvents list into the official minutes of the board, and then we'll move on to the acceptance of the settlement for current delinquent real and personal property taxes. This is an annual report that I know y'all are familiar with. The outstanding taxes are a little bit lower than they were last year. So that's, I'm under the weather. We've done a lot of collections, remedies that have increased our collections. So that figure is a lot lower than it was last year. And I don't have those figures from last year in front of me.
That's fine.
But on the charges, I just need a motion to accept that and accept the insolvents and enter that into the board's minutes.
Okay. I'll take a motion.
I have a question for Jody, if you don't mind. I've always wondered about this. When I look at the list and see the original amount, and then I see the current amount due, right? In about a dozen cases, there's a relatively large amount for
original amount. And when I look at current, I only see like a few dollars, like $5, $2, $1. What is that? Is that because of recalculation or something, or we just didn't get the original amount right? What causes the current amount just to be a few dollars or a few cents in some cases?
I'm trying to look at. Do you have one in specific? Yeah, the ones I'm looking at are.
Well, in our book, it's the number, but it's page 30 in our book. And look under the P's. And I won't want to call out a person's name, but if you look under the P's,
right.
My current amount was $494.97, which was the original amount. And now there's $5.49. But there's some others when it's just pennies. So I just always wondered, why would that be?
That's a balance that's been left on it.
So they just didn't pay the right amount, or we recalculated it afterwards?
Right. I mean, interest could have been charged on it, and they didn't send the right amount in.
All right. Okay.
Any of them that have just a few cents, I need to look at that, because they should have been released if it was less than a dollar.
Yeah, there's some, there, a couple are less than a dollar, but a lot of them that are less than $5. And I just wondered, you know, what would cause that. I thought it might be interest, but I wasn't sure.
It's either interest or $2.50 advertisement fee.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we make that clear to them, though, when we list the amount owed, that's part of that. But somehow they simply don't pay the whole fee. Is that what I'm hearing or what?
Right. Yeah, the interest could have accrued, or that fee could have been added. There are receipts mailed. Like I said, anything less than a dollar, we write off.
All right.
There's some up there, I need to take a look at that.
Well, there were just a couple, but okay. Thank you, Judy. It answers my question.
Any other questions? Then I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, Joe.
Okay, next on the list. Yes.
Go ahead. Next is your tax resolution.
Well, it's the charge of the 21-2022 tax levy. That's charging me to collect the current year taxes.
Madam Chair, make a motion to allow the tax collector to levy.
Second motion.
For the year.
All right. Is there a second?
I think John just did it.
All right. Second by John. Commissioner Trent, excuse me. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Okay. That's good. Thank you so much. Great work. We do have one of the highest collection rates in the state, so thank you for all your hard work and thank your staff.
And I can't say that'll be my staff that give that credit to.
Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
All right, next on the agenda is the Senior Center Operations Update by the Council on Aging Director, Vanita Thompson. Ms. Vanita?
Yes. Good afternoon to everyone.
Good afternoon.
What I'm bringing to you today is that the senior center meals count is getting lower and lower. We found out for some reason they don't want to come to sit in and eat. The caterer has brought to our attention as well to say that it's not worth the gas to go take one meal to one site. So they was like, is it possible to go back to the 5-day meals on Mondays? And I, you know, that's something I told them I would have to bring to you all to make sure that I would be able to do that. So what you have before you is a meal comparison from since the first part of from July through August. And so we'll just kind of show you how those numbers were working, how many clients we actually were serving for those times. And if you look at the first sheet, Orlando, the 7, 621, they serve to 13 people. So that means they got 13 times five meals. So what you see the same thing for 712. They got 13 meals and 13 people, and they got five meals. So, but then when you start, we started to do the, when they came back, when they was able to come back to eat, we started off pretty good, but then that numbers, if you, especially that second page, that numbers really started dropping as far as coming in to eat meals. So I just kind of gave y'all this to kind of get an idea of what it looks like right now. But we are, I mean, like you said, make one meal to one site or two meals to one site, that's not good. I mean, even Windsor, we having like three, sometimes we had three meals, one meal ourselves. So that's, you know, it's not worth her the gas for them to drive all the way for those kind of meals. But at the same time, you know, we're losing out too. Because we have more people to come when we do the five-day meals on Monday.
Miss Vanita, are these volunteers that take these meals, or are they under contract with us and getting paid?
No, this is only for congregate nutrition meals. That means people have to come in to get these meals.
I understand. Okay, so the participants are not coming because it's too far for them to come get the meals.
Well, no, it's not because of that, but I think it's because of we have a couple of them to tell us because of the virus.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. So a lot of them, several of them is because of the virus, and they're afraid they're going to catch something, so they won't come.
Yeah, Ms. Thompson, I don't think that's totally not unexpected, because obviously, you know, a lot of citizens are leery about coming out in public in a tight situation, especially when they're eating. So have you had a chance to talk to any of the citizens about why they are reluctant to come out? Have you had any conversations?
The site managers talked to them, the different, you know, for the different sites, they have talked to them. And a lot of them have said that, you know, that's what they were saying, because of the fact they don't want to get, you know, mess around and get something. So that's why a lot of them don't come.
When we
did the five-day meals, all they did was they pulled up, we took them out to their cars. The whole five-day meals, they pulled up and we put them in their car. They take them to their cars, and if they want to put them in there, we can.
Are they the same meals that they're getting if they come every day?
Yes, it's only difference of the five. Only difference of the five-day meals, they are frozen, so that way they can put them in the refrigerator, freezer, or whatever. For, you know, take them out each day if they want it like that.
Well, and many have lots of doctor's appointments, so it's not always easy for them to come on a daily basis too, because they're at doctors.
Actually, our numbers in June was even better than the ones you see here in July. Our numbers, they were even more people coming in June. You know, then I kind of looked, I didn't put them up, because I just kind of looked at the end and saw that. But more people even came in June to get those five-day meals than what they're doing now.
Ms. Thompson, these meals, the funding for these meals come through the Mideast. Is that correct?
You're right. And last year we had trouble trying to spend it. So I'm trying to see if we can switch. So, because we're losing out now. We don't want to spend that money back.
But let me suggest to you, have you reached out to Ms. Eubanks to explain the situation there? What does she say?
She just told us if we decide to go back, we got to go through this change of clothes that we're going to use. That's what she told us we had to use. But whenever I found out, I guess we just let her know so she can change the clothes that we got to use.
Yeah, but I mean,
she was going to meet with us last week, and she told me, she said, yes, we could, we just had to change the clothes.
I guess what I'm asking is she seeing the same things in the other counties that we serve, the other four counties, and does she have any suggestions to us?
She did not say that what she did or not. I remember, but I don't know what Commissioner.
Reason I ask that is that can you reach to her, Ms. Eubanks, and talk to her to see if we cannot lose the funding? Okay. If we can move that funding or save that funding, even extend the use of it. If it's pandemic related as the primary reason that people are coming out, they may give us some options. We don't want to lose the funding.
We won't lose the funding. We're just going to put that funding over into it'll. It's, okay, instead of like say code, instead of being code 180, it will come out of code 185. So we're still going to be our money, our same money we have, but we can just switch over.
To saying if we go to 5 days, that you would not. I mean, five meals in 1 day, you would not lose your money.
No.
I understand your point, but less meals means less money ultimately that we're going to get, because if we don't spend it this year, we won't necessarily get it funded for the prior year. That's the way it works, but next year. So I would just like you to see if she is having the same problem in the other four additional counties that she serves, and is there any way that we can ensure not just that the coding would be changed, but the ultimate money will not be lost in our county funding.
Okay. It shouldn't be lost because we're going to get more people to get meals. Now, if we go back to the 5 day meals, we have more people to come get meals than we do now. We have more people to come get the meals. See, we might not be able to spend as much right now with only like people 1 day, one meal, two meals, four meals. When we could do those 13 people times five meals, that's more meals in a week for one person. I mean, well, not one person, for the number of people that's coming to get those meals.
So maybe I'm misunderstanding. When I'm looking at this list you gave us, there were basically five dates here. Like use Orlando. So in 7-6, she had 13 people. 7-12, 13 people. But no people the other days. Is that correct?
No. Then it goes back when we open up. When you look at this once you don't see anything underneath that, let's go to the other side. That's the days. That's the when we open back up. So we had 4-4-4-2 and 4 for Orlando.
So that first week, that 9-7-19, that's 18 people that day. Is that right?
For the week? No.
Four Monday, four Tuesday, four Wednesday, two Thursday, four Thursday. 18. For the week.
Right.
Because
right.
They're getting 13 times 5.
Right.
Yeah. So they are, I mean, we're getting more meals. We're serving more when they come for 5 days.
Right.
Yeah.
You think they will allow us to make that change?
Yes. She was in a meeting with the other day. And she said yes. She said, "Long, we got to change the code. Let her know so she can, so if she can change the code on us and everything." And she said, "Yes, we could do that." She said, "Let her know."
I understand. Thank you.
And so you and your staff are willing to go back to the way you were doing it prior to reopening and delivering it out to their vehicles and all that good stuff.
We rather than not spending up our money because people don't want to come.
Well, we thank you for your willingness to do that.
Yes. That's better for so we can really spend up our money. We having trouble spending because we had all this COVID money to spend last year. So we're trying to get more people now to come so we can spend up this money.
Yes, ma'am.
Seven meals and more.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What you said?
Need a vote on that. No, just a consensus. Do we have a consensus? Okay, Ms. Thompson, thank you for your willingness to do all that and go feed our senior citizens some food, please.
Yes. And what we're going to do is I am going to try to get out there and get more people to come and get the five-day meals, and let them know they don't have to get out of the cars. We will bring it out to you so we can try to get more people to come.
Yeah, I know you have a lot of contacts through your other groups that you service the senior citizens with, so maybe call them and say, "We're giving out five meals at the time. Come get it."
Yes. They get them signed up. Now, this doesn't, like I said, does not include these are not our home delivered meals. Those are totally different because they're staying the same. Because right now, they're still on the five-day meal.
Yes,
ma'am. One day. So we don't have... We're not worrying about the home delivery because they're still doing the five-day meals on Mondays. That's it.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Right, next on the agenda is the Bertie County Sheriff's Office and Telecommunications Update by Sheriff John Holly. Welcome, Sheriff. Good evening.
Oh, ask to come out and give you an update on communication. We are full staff at this time with 9 and 2 part-time. The 2 part-time we have is actually a 2 of our full-time deputies that actually goes in and in communication. Little problem that I'm running in even with that. I was using 2 deputies part-time in communication. I was pulling money from my deputy's budget. When I did talk with the county manager about that, he said it needs to be pulled from communication. And that's the case that we're probably gonna have to do a budget amendment. They're doing a very good job back there in communication. And they're the only part-time have we're gonna actually advertise it again. Hopefully maybe we can get some more to actually come in for part-time. Any question, any thoughts on that?
So you have 2 part-time positions? Is that what I heard?
No, I have 2 working.
2 working?
Yeah, there's 2 of the deputies that's working part-time in communication.
Gotcha. How many vacancies do you have?
No vacancies.
No vacancies.
No vacancies.
Sheriff, have you figured what you think your shortfall is going to be? How much money needs to be put in the communications budget?
I have Audrey doing the figures on that. It's going to be, I would say, pretty big sum. We definitely need no part time. This with EMD state mandated, we have got to have. Bodies back there. We have to have it. And this is what I was saying earlier during the budget year, this happened. What I can get back with the county manager and move forward, because what will happen is it's going to offset my budget as if I'm using a bunch of overtime with the deputy, which I'm actually not. It's going to be still for communication. So that's why I was saying we probably have to do a budget amendment to actually take up the slack there, to make it that we can keep everything true, that way we can have 2 numbers.
Make sure I understand, sir. So you want us to move the money from the communication budget line over to
From the deputies over to
line over to communicate to cover it, right? But is it just a movement of the money? It's not additional money?
Well, yes and no. I don't know if you touch my budget at the depth, because I don't know how that's going to happen. You don't know what's going to pop up. But I say yes from some place, but I want the deputies budget to be the last thing that we look at or even touch. Because I can't, of course, none of us can predict the future, what may happen with all the storms going on and all. I'd like to have my budget get there. Get to that point that they have worked a bunch of overtime, it's in the budget. But if I pull it from the deputies and put it in communication, then at the end of the budget year, it's going to look as if I burnt a bunch of overtime in the deputy slot, which is actually not going to be all the deputy slot. It's going to be communication also.
Part of this dilemma, because I understand it, is they're working part-time in communications, but they're full-time deputies, so you have to pay them at their time and a half rate.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough.
When you get new people, and then you have new people working part-time, you want to pay them that time, because they would be county employees when they're $4.
Yes, if you get them in. But my thing right now, it's in almost like emergency situation. I have to get part times in here. But just like I said, with EMD, you have got to have your folk back there working. You got to have them.
Right.
And
but the ultimate fix would be to get people filled in those jobs so you wouldn't
part-time. Have to pick people yes. up. Yes.
But you're right. saying that you would only really need part time people in those jobs. That,
that's yes. Right. What we have now, we're going to have to have part time backup, have nine positions. Somebody come in tomorrow and say, hey, Sheriff, found another job, 2 weeks' notice. Where am I going to pull?
Cover.
And it takes a long time to actually train. We have two new telecommunicators. It takes a time, a long period of time. They have to be certified. So we have to jump in front of that before it happens.
Right. So the ultimate fix, though, is still that you're looking for is to hire part-time people before it happens, right? And it's not talking about carrying out throughout the whole year with this. Right?
And they're listed on our website as job openings because I just pulled it up.
It may still be, but
this week, yeah.
Full step, we have nine and two part-time.
I pulled it up and shared it with somebody that was job hunting. So.
Part-time, yes.
Were there ever 11 full-time positions there?
I can't remember. I really can't. I can check back on it. I don't tell you anything about that.
So the dilemma is right now it's costing you more because you're still paying the deputy and then still paying them to work the part-time. Right?
Yes.
So the ultimate solution is, I know it may be difficult, but to find those part-time people to fill those jobs, right?
That's correct.
Oh, yeah.
When I need them on the place, we can stick them in the place and keep them.
There you go. Yeah. How difficult do you think that would be to find those part-time people?
It's going to be kind of difficult because, number one, to have a full-time job, I'm not going to give up a full-time for a part-time and your working time. Let's say the next person will come in the evening. What's a 12-hour shift from 6 to 6? And if they're working a daytime job, then, you know, if someone really serious, he can make it work to the best of his ability. But it's kind of hard. That's why you don't have a lot of application on part-time.
Well, Sheriff, we certainly understand your dilemma, but I know you've read the newspaper or heard somewhere along the line where we have some financial issues going on in the county. So if you could find that money somewhere besides getting it from our fund balance, that would be extremely helpful.
I'm going to say you can see it. Last place I need to take from the deputies.
Oh, I understand. I agree.
I don't know if anywhere else because y'all cost you cutting my budget. I mean,
we cut everybody's.
I've gone past bleeding. I've already bled out. It's a talking about my budget. So I'm going to.
Please work with them and do the very best you can.
I mean, I don't mind making with anyone. I really don't. But I just want to put it out there. That's where we figure
out. I understand.
That's where some of my part-time help is working in the deputy's position. I'm having to cut them back because of the part-time deputy that's working in communication. Now it's going to have to come from the communication budget. So we're on the right track.
There's a situation where communications is pulling from law enforcement. And I don't think that necessarily needs to be the case. I mean, it's two entirely different
That's why they're on separate line items.
And I'd say, you know, a large majority of communications is fire and rescue.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're financing this out of his law enforcement budget. I'm just not sure that's where all the people are kind of where they're coming from. And I know we got a problem trying to figure out where it comes from. I mean, that's the next thing. And maybe some of it has to come over there and not all of it. Maybe we can find it in a number of different places. Yes. But the next thing we need is a number of how much money.
Right.
But the key is going to be finding people to fill the jobs because that's the only solution. The only solution is to find people to fill the
part-time jobs. That's the ideal solution.
Because it's not going to go away unless we fill those positions.
That's all
right. That's where we need to focus.
And what we have to do now is an extremely expensive way of having
that's correct.
Yeah.
Is there any
Commissioner Robinson has them. comment.
We find some money for communications. We have to look into doing grants or any money anywhere we can.
Commissioner Weston, you had something.
Yeah, I was going to say, the question to me is not so much about the money, is how do you find the job? How do you fill the job so you don't have to spend the money? So I think that's where our focus needs to be. Is any assistance that we can give through HR or any place else to try to find qualified people to fill those part-time jobs? That's the only answer here.
Yeah, sure.
We continue doing what we're doing. It's not
what you have to change. Put it out there.
Do you know what? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Do you know what your part-time rate is?
It's low. 10. It's maybe $10 an hour.
Like, maybe something we need to look at too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I know
that. Matter of fact, we're paying the deputies the time and a half, even back there, it's you know, it's way over there.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we need to look for solutions about how we fill the jobs, because that's the only way we're going to stop the bleed, right, of the money. So, you know, we're going to pay what we got to pay, but we need to concentrate on, if it means raising the part-time salary, whatever it needs, to fill those jobs.
Yes, but I will say this, in reason it's so hard to fill slots in communication. I don't care if you graduate from Harvard. If you can't multitask, you cannot do the job. That's the key in communication, how to multitask.
It's a very hard job. You have to have the right position.
You get someone graduate with a high school diploma, can get right there and do the job if they can multitask. That's the key. I've seen it. But I'll definitely get with the county manager, assistant county manager, but we can move forward on
this. Also be thinking, maybe talk to some of your folks there, maybe what it would take as a part-time hourly rate to fill those positions.
Okay.
Certainly we can't make any promises here tonight, but I mean, that's something we need to be looking at.
I will talk to the supervisor, J.W., about just see if she will have some type of feel on that.
You know, and it's one thing to, you know, we're posting, like you said, but if we could even reach out to JobLink or would say, you know, what would it take in order to fill those positions, right? Again, I say that's where the focus has got to be. And that's why we save money if we can do that, even if we have to raise the salary for those part-time people.
I understand.
And to me, it would be a rewarding career because, especially with EMD now, because you have the opportunity to help people, the citizens of this county, tremendously through the EMD program that we have in place. So it would be a wonderful career for somebody that is highly motivated and a multitasker.
It's a hard job.
John, have you got any questions for Commissioner Trent?
No, I'm good.
All right. I don't want to ignore you.
The second thing, you know how EMD is doing. I think we're doing pretty good. Just starting. We actually have the folks that actually trained them listening to some of the calls. Overall, I feel that we are passing with it, but it's going to be a slow process to be Johnny on the spot. I don't know if many of y'all can remember when I first became sheriff, that one of my biggest goals was trying to get EMD here because I knew it was going to be mandated, and here it is today. But overall, they're not doing bad at all. Not bad at all. I've also asked about my thoughts concerning the non-emergency calls that's answered by my staff in communication. I don't know legal thing is on that, but we receive a lot of calls at the sheriff's office. Overall calls since March of this year. Make sure. Yeah, March of this year. Total calls have been over 24,000 calls. Probably the regular calls, which is going to be probably your non-emergency calls, is 16,258. And the CAD reports it generates so far is a little over 8,300. So we do get a lot of non-emergency calls. We get a bunch of those. And I was asked to think that my staff that I have now could handle non-emergency calls. My answer will be no, that they can't handle it, because I have Ms. Bond is doing the concealed pistol permits. I mean, that's a ongoing thing at all time. Ms. Wilkins, she's entering papers. And if you ever seen papers that come in, Ms. Adler can witness to this here, sometimes she get them that thick. And the quicker you get the papers in, the quicker the deputies can get them out. So she stayed pretty busy. The only one I think to pop in and pop out a little will be Francis, but that's going to be very little. Now, how we handle this problem or attack this on non-emergency call, I think I can check into something. I think we got three working all the time in communication. I don't know if we can take one and have them separate them to answer non-emergency calls. I don't know, but I need to find out the requirements still, that we're still going to be intact and aligned with the EMD. But and if that's the case, we have enough room in the communication where the table where they sit at or snap and make that a separate console for non-emergency call. My question is, if we're going to do the non-emergency call, when do we stop? Do we let the rest of the other agency, they stop at 5 o'clock and everything is still rolled over to communication? So that's something to think about.
What are the other counties?
Okay. Mr. Manager, didn't we not fund the sheriff for another administrative position?
Yes, you're referring to, I think, the full-time administrative position that Audrey kind of works part-time. I think that's what he's Commissioner Trinity referring to.
Yes,
that's correct.
Okay. And would there not be extra money there that we could put somebody on an administrative position that could do this?
Put somebody in that spot that could answer the in Audrey's full-time position or old full-time position.
I have a plan with that. I really don't want to reveal it because I'm planning on filling that slot. And that job that Audrey had, and the reason that she's still doing it is you talk about certification with the deputies, certification or qualifying. This stuff have to be on point. This could shut the sheriff off now.
I agree with you on that. But I thought we had a separate funding for an administrative position along with the deputies that we left in that budget.
He's having a hard time. But
I thought there was separate funding in the same for that other position. Separate funding, but I don't know.
It's just Audrey's position that she's doing part-time right now. Yes.
So full-time funded position you've got her in there part-time. That's what it is. Okay. There's no part-time funding there. There's just one full-time funded position.
And you. What she's doing for is what's happening, not paying her. I wish she would make it even if she worked full-time. We're actually still saving that. We're still saving a bunch of money there.
But you're planning to fill that position full-time, though, right?
Yes, I am.
Some counties I go in, they have two different numbers. They have one number, non-emergency number for the sheriff's department, and one number, emergency number you call, you know. So we don't have that.
No, we just have the 5330 number.
Right, 5330.
And the 911.
911. Yeah. You know, I would say a lot of people say, unfortunately, I said fortunately, that everything that goes on in the county comes through the sheriff's office.
Right.
Whether it's Orlando, Lewiston, all your fire, all your rescue, it goes. So that's why I'm calling on you. I don't know if you have someone to answer, maybe, you know, but the thing is, you got to have someone to answer the non-emergency if we're going to go that way. But I'm hearing that it could be a little problem with that, with both of them actually coming into communication, which is the non-emergency calls and your non-emergency calls.
Now, what we were told by our attorney, yes, Lloyd, was that they were not, 911 was not supposed to answer those non-emergency calls. It was against the law for them to answer.
I mean, he knows he's a lawyer, not a lawyer.
Yeah.
Commissioner Robinson's question is, it's a good one. Do you think having a separate number for non-emergency calls, regardless of how we man it, would be a way of separating those calls and getting a better handle on how many of them there really are and what does it take to handle?
And they can leave a message.
It's got to be less of a skill, right, person to handle a non-emergency than an emergency.
Well, I thought we already have it, the 5330 number.
Yeah.
But the people understand
can
that
they
that's
leave
where
a
they
message
call.
After
people calling
hours
911.
No.
Well, there is a non-emergency number. The sheriff's office number is 5330.
Like the rest of our phone numbers, like Juan's number, you can leave a message on his call on his number, but you can't leave a message on the 5330 number.
No, because they're gonna pick it up at the sheriff's office.
But if we do what, if the sheriff's department does what's supposed to be done, and those 911 telecommunicators do not answer that line, then can they leave a message?
No.
Because it's a non-emergency if you're calling on that 5330.
Yeah. It's going to drive you crazy, but if you don't answer, because they're going to call.
Can you fix it so it don't ring in there? I don't know. I'm asking.
I'm pretty sure you can.
The calls don't have to go to tell them.
You can. Because some of our calls still are our calls. Sometimes your 911, I don't think we can handle how many calls, about four at one time. You got an emergency going on, everybody hitting at the same time. Won't go through, can't get through. And a lot of them know the 5330 call in on that line. So it's something to think about. Four one time, once it hits at four one time, that's it. You're not going to get through.
So you're saying even some emergency calls are coming in on the 5330?
Oh, yes.
And then you run into a problem of what's an emergency to one person isn't necessarily to another.
Yes.
So you really need a person screening what's an emergency
and what isn't. Yes. I would invite y'all in there. Please come by, sit down, and get your eyes full.
Sheriff, who answers 5330? Is that Ms. Bond? Who's?
Ms. Bond is extension 6250.
Who's 5330?
That's the sheriff's office.
So does one person answer that?
Communication.
So communication.
Yes.
So both of it. So 911 and 5330, all those are communications.
Which is what Lloyd said should not
be
happening.
Yes. Gotcha. So we need 5330 to go somewhere. So.
Yes. But I would hate for if 911 can only accommodate four calls at one time, I would hate somebody to be in a bind and call the 5330. And not be able to get through, and it be a true emergency, as the sheriff was saying. So that's a dilemma.
But and if someone calls 5330 and it's an emergency, then it can be transferred to 911.
You got to take the calls off of 911 that are not 911. So you got to put them in a different, route them to a different place. You still may get some there that emergency, but they can be routed back. But the start is always to try to separate those calls.
Yeah.
But that could be hemming up real 911 calls.
That's good.
You got to call this emergency number. You can't call this number. You got to call this other number. So you got to hang up immediately and call the other number.
Yeah.
The non-emergency number.
Right. But one thing they
got to be made.
Yeah. But one thing they do, if they call on 911, it's not emergency, so you need to call another emergency line. If they're on a non-emergency call, 911 goes off, they drop that call immediately. Hold, let's have 911. They don't still go through the call. Once they find it's not emergency, 911 goes off, they go straight to 911.
We just want the sheriff's department to be in line, and I know you do too, because I mean, you're the top law enforcement in the county, to be in line with general statute.
Yeah.
So
I think it's something we can work out.
Yeah, we need to
try to get together. I have three about that at all times. Maybe we can work one on the third one to separate it. They can have an emergency in the same area, but separate. And go from there. I guess I can talk with Attorney Hudson or either Attorney Smith about this. I don't know, but we definitely need to talk with him about it. I think it can be done.
I want to get a compliment, Sheriff, because yesterday, in fact, had a citizen call me with an issue that was borderline what it was a real emergency, had the potential emergency. But so she called me and said, who do I think she should call? I said, well, she explained the situation. I said, it might be easy for me to make the call for you, right? And so I called the sheriff's office and immediate assistance. And it turned out to be that they were able to get relief what this person needed with the town of Windsor, actually, because it's an electrical feature that they thought was going to be a fire or an explosion. And they got on it right away. I mean, and the electric people called me back and said, it's a great thing that it went through and they did follow up because it could have been a real problem for them. They did a great job. I mean, it was like they knew exactly who to refer it to.
Indeed, in the update shed on Sunday, we had a tree to go down on 1200 block Republican Road. First person to call was me. I called the sheriff's department. She said, Mr. Robinson, I'll take care of it. I called the fire department. Called the fire department. They came down along with DOT. They came afterwards, in fact. They came down and cleared it right away. So everybody could ingress, egress. So that was good. She done a super job.
Last but not least, I'll ask to details on the vaccination requirement. I'm requiring all my employees to be vaccinated. I would say probably about 96-97% of the deputies will be vaccinated, which by my date, which is October the 1st, at least have one shot. By October 21st, should have both of them or have a date by the 21st. Of course, unless you take it Johnson & Johnson. But did a lot of thinking on this here, and I feel that we are there to protect and serve. This is one thing that we should have. I mean,
are you requiring all staff?
Yes, ma'am.
Office and 911?
Yes. Yes. What I do, if you want to read it, I'll be glad to share it. If I need to get it back, how we're doing this here, it's up to you.
Read what? Is that the letter?
Yes. Yes. On my requirement of vaccination.
We got a copy of the letter.
We got that. Yeah, we got that. We read it.
County manager's on it. Yeah, it was very well done. I hope you don't. I hope there's no fallout from it.
Well, I hope it doesn't be, but I really feel that I'm doing the right thing. And if it does, then I hope it still could be mended. But long as I feel that I'm doing the right thing, then I'm going forward with it. And
from what I understand, you talked to the attorneys to make sure that you legally could do that.
Yeah.
John, did you have a question?
No, I didn't. I was just letting him know I've read it anyhow.
Okay.
It's a good move. I thought it was a good move.
Okay. Any other questions?
Any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, so next on the agenda is board appointments. First is Rivers East Workforce Development. How many slots do we have open for this board?
Two.
Two. So if there are any interested parties, I know we need a business person. And what's the other category?
That's part right. Can you share the details from Ms. Jenny Bowen that we received today, please, for the workforce development work?
Yes, can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. After Steve spoke with Ms. Jenny, she advised that Ricky Spivey would not be eligible to be appointed to the Rivers East Board because of his full-time employment with Berkeley County. And that's not acceptable by law. However, she stated that the board has four members that are considered small business. The appointments that they are looking for are representatives from the larger business private sector that are involved in advanced manufacturing, healthcare, agri-science, biotechnology, ambulance services, business support services, including IT and logistics. Businesses that she was hoping that would get an appointment would be from Purdue, maybe from their HR staff, and also Avoca. Ms. Jenny also mentioned that if we had someone from one of our nursing homes that is either a manager or assistant manager that would be willing to serve, that would also be great.
Thank you. So if anyone is listening that qualifies under those two categories or knows of someone, please contact us. There is an application process, and the application is on our website, on the county website. So we will need to fill those. So, Commissioner, if you know anybody that might be interested, please let them know. I
already made a suggestion to the county manager and to Commissioner Robinson, someone I thought that might be excellent representing a large business that I know is interesting. It's a new general manager there is interested in getting more connected with the business as one of our largest employers. So I think we might want to reach out to
them. Good suggestion. Next is the Berkeley County Planning Board. We have Joe DeSeri, Gregory Hughes, and Terry Pratt, and these three have expressed interest in staying on. And so that leaves us with how many vacancies?
Three.
So. I have district, with Mr. Bond, Carbon, said he has spoken with Mr. Biggs by continuing his tenure on the planning board. Report back to you.
No, we can look into that. Mr. Barn did serve previously on this board. So.
Okay, so we have three vacancies and three prior members that want to stay on. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, technically, after those three
we still
members,
have three more?
Correct, there'll still be three more.
Gotcha, I'm with you now. All right, so hopefully Mr. Carl will want to stay on.
Mr. Barn. Sure. All
right, wonderful. Okay. I'll take a motion to approve these three. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. So we do have three more vacancies on that planning board if anyone is interested in serving. All right, down to the consent agenda. We have the Register of Deeds report, the Tax Release Journal, the minutes for 2-1 for regular session, 2-1 for closed session, 217 work session, 217 closed session. I will take all of them as a group if no one has any problem with that, and I will take a motion to approve those items.
Madam Chair, I make the motion that we approve items 1-6 in the consent agenda.
Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So number 7, I left that one out separately. We just, for total transparency, we did do a vote, some by phone, some by email, on this item, but wanted to have it on the agenda and vote again in a public meeting. Vote was 4-1, but we will vote again on this item. The contract has been signed and sent, so the auditors can get started so we're not late again. Our one dissenting vote was Mr. Commissioner Ron Wesson, and I will let him explain if he cares to.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I still stand by that vote not to extend, simply because by extending, we run the risk of not having time to be able to properly check and examine what's given to us before it goes to the LGC. We've run into problems already with that before, and I don't think we need to take that risk. There's a reason for that date in the contract, because it gives us and would give us time to do a proper review. So I think we should, my vote was to hold the accountants to that. That's simply the reason for it. I'd hate to see us have something go to us at the same time it goes to the LGC and we haven't seen it, the final draft, final copy. We've seen drafts before. We've seen changes made in drafts. And the other point is, in this contract, we, the county, are held to very stringent requirements from the auditors, even to the extent if we miss one of our dates in getting them information, they will stop their work, so they say. Now, if they can hold us to that kind of requirement, we don't want to hold them to the same requirement. It just feels like we're setting ourselves up for something that should not be an issue. They should be willing to do the work to the terms of the contract. It's my opinion.
And the change in the contract was anything after December 1st? No. December 1st. That there will be a $300 a day penalty until they complete it and turn it into us. They have told us that will not happen, that they will have it in timely. And so we're going to hold them to that. And we want it in time so we can examine it before it goes to the LGC. We do not want it to go to the LGC before it comes to us for our viewing. I understand your point, Commissioner Wesson. I mean, you made a valid point, but
I'm not going to ensure that does happen. Change the date, and they can go to the last day. And we'll do about that. We give them the opportunity to do that. I'm saying they will, but that would worry me.
They were agreeable to this contract, and anyways, my thought was we needed to go ahead and get it signed and get it to them so they could start the process and not have that as an excuse to be late. I'm going to call for the vote again. Commissioner Atkins, I'm going to call a roll call vote, I guess, just to make so for transparency purposes.
Okay. What is it that we're
in favor of the contract that has gone forward?
Extending the date.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Commissioner Wesson.
No.
Commissioner West. Trent.
Yeah, I'm in favor of it with the attorney changes.
So, all right. So, thank you.
And if they say they're not going to be late, then why are we changing the date?
Well, if they don't do right this year.
When somebody tells you they're not going to meet, they're going to meet the date, then you told them to meet the date.
What he said at this point, because it's already September, he's saying they're likely not going to make October 31st, but they will make November 30th, is what he's told me at this point.
later. A month later.
Hi. I know we don't need to be March or no, August.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, getting it again.
Exactly.
Yes. All right, so next on the agenda is the 2022 Bertie County Holiday Calendar and Board of Commissioners meeting schedule.
So, commissioners, before you, the holiday schedule as well as the meeting schedule. The holiday schedule is pretty straightforward. In line with the states, in addition to Juneteenth that was approved by the board. However, of course, the meeting schedule is where we have some flexibility. If you all, when you have a moment to, if you're ready now, it's fine. If not, we can do it at an upcoming meeting to actually approve the meeting dates for the 2022 meeting schedule. We have noted here that, and planned around the NACO conference, which will be July 21st. Through the 24th for 2022, as well as the association conference, which will be August 11th through the 13th.
You did well to find those dates.
Yes, our clerk, yeah. Ms. Cartwright.
Thank you, Ms. Cartwright, for finding those dates. I looked at the schedule. And I usually go over it pretty tightly, and yeah, it looked great to me. I had no issues whatsoever. But if y'all want to take another month, we don't have to approve it tonight.
Right.
We never have in the past. So, but if you want to approve it tonight, I'll entertain a motion. All right. So put it on the agenda for the next meeting. Okay. So discussion options for the 2021 Employee Appreciation Luncheon.
Okay. So as you all know, last year we did the drive-through luncheon, in addition to things during the week, like our Spirit Week, where employees really like having different things each day and dressing up. Of course, we recognize employees with those service award years, those years of service for the milestone years of service. They were recognized on our website and via Facebook. But I guess we need to decide if we're going to do a drive-by, and honestly, based on our COVID numbers and with the significant increase we're experiencing now, I'm afraid to say that we're going to be able to, for 200 employees and commissioners, to be able to dine together. I think that's a shame. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree, but it's a shame. Yeah,
agreed. So I'm thinking that the drive-through luncheon will be ideal again, unless of course we want to come up. There are other ideas, of course, and I've been polling some staff and department heads trying to get their feedback on how things went last year, and of course some were very pleased with and appreciative of what was done last year, and of course some have some other ideas, and everybody agrees that having the afternoon off is perfect. They definitely want that afternoon off. And some, again, appreciate the drive-through luncheon. I've also heard an idea of giving the afternoon off and then some type of small gift, perhaps a small monetary gift to take care of lunch or to go towards lunch. So
I like that idea.
Yeah. So that's something for us to consider.
We could do gift cards from our different establishments in the county.
We could. So it's something to consider. But again, everybody coming together, I'm afraid that the pandemic is going to prevent that again.
Well, of course, I was one of the last ones to eat, but mine was cold when I got it. You know, and I went into the rescue building and ate. I could have warmed it up, but it was cold.
And it's kind of hard to prevent that when you have 200 employees, right, you're trying to serve and everybody's driving through. Because if everybody's meal was going to be hot, that line would be, right, you know, very long. Or we would have to do some planning to do it in phases, which will take up a good portion of the day. So I really think it's going to be hard to have everybody steaming hot when we're talking about 200 employees.
But I mean, and I didn't want to heat it up because I like my steak the way I like, and I didn't want it way overcooked and dried out. Anyway, so that's just my fault. I like the idea of giving them a gift card or something to our businesses in the county and letting them go eat. I like that idea. How about, has anybody suggested like a food truck? Of course, 200 employees, it would be hard for a food truck to serve them and it be hot. But
right.
Yeah. If we could, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much we usually spend on that. And if it, I guess we budgeted it for. What are y'all's thoughts?
Well, personally, I think the, you know, the group setting meal is absolutely something we should even consider at this point. But you've spoken to, you know, employers, right? I mean, are there any other kind of outside of the box ideas or other things that we could possibly do? I mean, it's nice giving the money. That wouldn't be a bad thing, but I wonder if there's something.
Outside of just giving them the day off was one, just the day off. But then the day off in addition to some type of gift, perhaps a gift card to go towards lunch was the other idea. The only other thing that I've heard is again, just the drive through luncheon.
Hmm. Okay. The afternoon off and a gift card, I think most people would be.
Well, we would be helping our businesses. It's, you know, they've struggled through the whole pandemic too, so.
I think a gift card from the businesses within the county,
yeah,
and half a day off. I think everybody would be tickled. We just said that it's a win-win for the county. The restaurants here in the county, they would get businesses. Plus, the employees would get to know who has the best pizza or whatever.
That's right.
I think that'll be great. You know, they deserve it. We have commissioners, great employees here. You know, and I'm sure with you guys earlier, some of them are new and they learned it. And some of them have been around for a while and they'll teach them. So, you know, we're well blessed to have all our employees here. From you
guys. The gift card will be just the money. I mean, I don't know how much money it would take to get a gift card, but the option would just be giving the employees the money in their check.
Right. So just depends on how much. And we can take a look at what we usually spend and divide that by the number of employees that we have, which is about 229
I doubt anybody would object to that. If it would cost us any more, they can always take the money and buy lunch if they want to, or
right,
do something else.
But I like the whole Spirit Week thing. I enjoyed looking at the pictures on Facebook and it seemed like the employees were enjoying it.
Indeed.
Lets their hair down a little bit every once in a while.
So, right. Yeah. Right.
I hope that is going to be a continued tradition.
Yes, you can continue that.
Okay. Sounds good. Maybe next year. Discussion for funding for the Fire Protection Service District Planning with Gregory Grayson.
We have identified some sources of funding for that, and I'll turn it over to our finance director to mention a few line items of where that can be taken.
I'd like to talk to Mitch a little bit about the transport budget. There's a few line items in there that I think we might could take a little bit from each one of these line items, enough to cover the funding that you need to do this project with. I hope you're still in agreement with me.
I don't know if he might be on or not.
He's still up there.
I can't see that. Mitch, are you still with us?
He's muted right now. But
he's still up there, Chelly, trying to get him to unmute.
All those names here are a big blur to me.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Mitch.
Yeah, me and William discussed it, and we're gonna work through it and make it work out. And I still agree.
Thank you so much. So thank you for finding that money, because it is an important task that we take care of, but yeah, can take it from fund balance.
Yes, can we have a motion to move forward with that?
Yes. Can I get a motion?
Yes. So moved.
All right, so I have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Commissioner's reports. Commissioner Trent, so I don't forget you.
I don't have anything tonight.
Commissioner Robertson.
Hold on a minute.
Okay. Commissioner Wesson.
No, nothing. Thank you.
Commissioner Atkins.
No, that's such a report. Did anybody else get any complaints about the convenience sites being closed on Monday?
I didn't realize they were closed.
I was told. Do you know anything about that, Mr. Vaughn?
I don't. Well, I did go by one, and I noticed that it was closed.
I usually
get an email, from someone, and I know things have changed with Republic, but I usually get an email just to say, we'll be closed on this day, and
that could have been something that notification. I've talked to people that carried trash away and brought it back.
Okay.
It was interesting. I mean, I noted it personally because I thought they were going to be open because they were open on July 4th. And if you open on July 4th, I thought, well, you'd certainly be open on Memorial Day too, but they were not.
Or at least if you're going to close, notify people.
Yeah. I can reach out to them about some better communication so that we can let the citizens know if for sure that they're going to be closed during the holiday.
I'm sure it's just slipped his mind because
whenever
I text him or whatever, he's very speedy about getting back with me.
Right.
He's done a great job thus far. Mm-hmm. The only report I have is this past week, and talking about trash, this past week I have been on vacation. I went to Montana and Wyoming and Idaho. And the one thing that impressed me so much about all of those areas, everywhere I went, was I saw no trash on the side of the road. None. Those states are doing. Of course, now the cattle population way outdoes the human population in those states, but I don't know what those states are doing that North Carolina, because it's not a Bertie County, just a Bertie County problem. It's a North Carolina problem. But Bertie County is a little bit worse than some of the other counties. So I just wish Bertie County would take more pride in our beautiful county. When you go away and you come back, it is absolutely beautiful to come back to Bertie County. But the amount of trash that's on our, and I know if Stuart White were listening in, he would be saying, yes, go get him. It was so refreshing to ride along the roads and not see the trash that you do in Bertie County. So I just would love our citizens to do a better job.
I'd like to just speak to that. I mean, I think you say you think probably Bertie is a little worse, and I believe it is, and I believe that there's a reason that it is. We're one of the few counties here that does not have curbside pickup. If you remember, one of the reasons that we wanted to go to curbside, because if everybody has a major container at home that comes with the price of the thing, you're rarely going to throw stuff out of your window when you got a container to put it in. And you're not going to do what a lot of people are still doing in this county. I live on a road that's a dead-end road. And I can't tell you how many people every year we find wanting to come down and dump couches or dump refrigerators. And we had all those kinds of things in our deal, which would be picked up from your home free of charge. So I think, citizens were not for it. They wanted the pickup sites, drop-off convenience sites. But I think that's one of the key reasons. The counties who have pickup have cleaner counties. And we thought that was a reason for it. But I think we should appeal to citizens. But there's a difference.
If you drive up to a restaurant or stop to get gas, there's a trash can out there. Empty your trash out of your car and not throw it out the window. And some I do know is blowing out of those trucks that we have coming through the county to go to the landfill, but that's few and far between.
A lot of the roads that they don't travel are trashy also. So I've said my piece, but it was absolutely gorgeous, but it is good to be home. And let's see. County manager's reports.
The only thing I have is to follow up on Mr. Richley's request for metal detecting, which you heard from him during public comments. And I can gladly, if it's the board's pleasure, I can gladly follow up with him tomorrow, let him know that that is permissible for him to start doing that. However, I thought it may be worth some discussion among the board in terms of any type of guidelines that he may, or not just him, but anyone who's metal detecting on county property may need to adhere to. Otherwise, I mean, you know, they would just be able to go anywhere on county property and metal detect and pop and dig. And if that is something, again, that the board is okay with just giving that permission, then I absolutely can do that. But I did not follow up with Mr. Richley because I thought it may be worth some discussion.
In my comment, I mean, in my conversation with him down at beach, I understood he was just going to the beach and to the recreational department. Okay. That was my, but if it's more than that, if he's going to some of our place like the library, and I mean, that shouldn't be, he shouldn't be going to those.
I don't know if this is a situation where you have to get permission to do it, or we need to make some kind of rule where you can't do it. But I don't think if it's public property, it would be assumed that you could do that unless we make some type of rule that you can't. Am I wrong here?
No, it's our property, so we can tell him that he can't.
What I'm saying is, I think it would, if it's public property, if it's property that someone, a citizen, can go on anyway, then I think you would have to, I think you have to assume that they could go on and with a metal detector, unless there's some rule that says you can't go on it with a metal detector. So it sounds to me as though if we don't want to need somebody on a metal detector, we need to say that we don't. I would, and if I was going down to the beach and I want to take a metal detector down there, I wouldn't think of asking permission. I would just assume that you could because it's public land.
Right, and we can get our attorney to weigh in on that, but I'm not certain that's the case. I know in some state parks, you cannot do that without
a permit. But they have a specific rule that says you cannot, right?
Correct, the state park.
So in the absence of some specific rule with public land, I would think it would just be assumed that you could. Am I wrong on this, John?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was the archaeological value of the county property. I mean, we didn't Lloyd prepare an agreement with some with an entity that was going to come down and do some digging and archaeological digs. And it's a very clear written agreement about what they can, you know, if they find anything that it's not theirs, it's ours. I'm just thinking, just because it's county property, I don't know that it's as simple as just saying, well, it's public property, so you can dig, you can excavate, you can keep, you can make money off of it. Well, for one thing, I think we need to be with this gentleman and anybody else that wants to go to the Tall Glass of Water property. I think you need to be specific about where they can't dig, because there may be some archaeological significance there that you don't want anybody just digging around. You know, because if they're digging like on the block, I think that one of the areas of sensitivity is up on the block. And if somebody's walking around there with a metal detector and finds they come across an old door hinge or something metal from hundreds of years ago and they start digging, then they're going to be disturbing other areas that are of significance. Because you can't, you know, when you dig a hole straight down, you're going to disturb everything that's in that hole. So I just think you need to be careful, maybe somehow limit it to the beach or limit it to the parking, you know. Well, gosh, I mean, the thing is, the beach, what's now the beach, used to be bluff. And so who knows what was once sitting there as part of the bluff and now has dropped down to the beach area. I don't know if I'm complicating this more than what you really wanted from me, but I do understand Mr. Atkins' comments about it being public property, but I think
if somebody were to go there to the public beach tomorrow with a metal detector, and we just decided we didn't want them there, I mean, is it absent for some type of specific rule, what would you do?
If you had an ordinance, I guess you could enforce an ordinance. But I mean, in the absence of some specific rule, there's anything that keeps you from carrying a metal detector on public property, unless there's a specific ordinance. Am I wrong? Mm-hmm. And maybe there needs to be some guidelines, not just rules that say you can't have the metal detector, but maybe some guidelines on how it's used and covering up holes and stuff like that. You know?
I think the property itself, I mean, I think it would not be well served to allow anyone to dig on tall glass for water, knowing that that's an archaeological site. In fact, we had more artifacts found on our property than even on the adjoining property. So would we want anyone, not that this gentleman may be, you know, be a well-intended, but I don't think we should want to allow anybody that particular piece.
Well, maybe what both of you are saying is correct. I mean, maybe they can, unless we tell them they can't.
Not too, right.
And so maybe we should tell them they can't, at least for, like, and Tammy, I think, mentioned, Commissioner Lee mentioned the library property. I mean, I don't know if you want somebody, you know, that's just, I don't think he's asked to go to the library property, right. But you don't want necessarily somebody walking around the, right outside the windows of the offices there.
Newly planted grass. And,
right. Yeah.
It's disturbing.
Even though this gentleman might do the right thing down at Tall Glass Water, but you open it up to him, you pretty much got to open it up to everybody. Right.
Now,
that would be a mistake.
Like the rec center, I mean, out there in the fields, I mean, you know, you could say, well, that's not an archaeological site. It's not going to interfere, but you ought to have maybe some rules that you wouldn't do it. Like, if you're going to do it in the field where the kids play soccer, you got to be sure you fill your holes up. Right. And you might have some rules and some parameters in terms of allowance. And it wouldn't be just for this gentleman. It would be generally for anybody that wants to do that sort of thing.
Without permission. So
maybe you should call him and tell him we're working on a ordinance of, or an agreement, you know, for him to sign. And anybody else that would want to.
And I would like to have the opportunity to research generally the metal detecting on public property. I mean, it wouldn't take me long to research it and see Commissioner Atkins, what law is in place in that area for North Carolina public property.
Yeah, maybe some statute says you can't have on public property. I've never heard of it.
Unless there is
in the absence of that, I would say you could, unless there's
a it'll be interesting because, like you said, I mean, the issue may not be the metal detector itself, but once you start digging on property,
that's a whole other thing.
There's
no reason metal detector if you're not going to dig. There's no reason to metal detect if you're not going to try to find where to dig it. But the property, I'm really concerned about that piece of property specifically, because if you start giving one person the authority to go there and do it, I don't think you can do that. Like, you have to give that to every citizen. And I think that would be a mistake for us.
I think we have to be careful about giving any individuals any type of specific permission to do anything.
Right.
That everybody else can.
State parks don't allow any metal detectors in their state parks unless you're looking for your lost property. And then you have to have a park representative with you in order to do it.
Is that a state law or is that what that is?
I know it's a state park law.
Yeah, my concern would be the liability that the county may have. But like I said, you could research that and find out. And like you said, state parks, they are very specific on who can come up there and what they can do. You know.
County attorney.
Reports.
Public comments. Ms. Cartwright, are there any public comments?
Shirley, there's no public comments at this time.
I did receive a message that said the audio was horrible tonight, and I just want to let the public know we are all wearing masks, so that might be affecting the audio some.
And we apologize. Our meetings are open currently. So if you'd like to come and listen firsthand, you're more than welcome to do so. Are there any other items that need to be addressed? I'm going to adjourn then.